You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 15th, 2020, today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the seven lawmakers who will serve as House managers, make that prosecutors, to present the case against President Trump in the U.S. Senate. Seven of them. Seven? Do you really need seven? You know why she's got seven? She's trying to cover all of her bases on geographic, racial, gender diversity. That's what she's doing. Out of the seven, four are men. Three of those men, white, and three are women, and two of those women are white. But she's covering her bases, saying we've got all these folks ready to go, and we are going to make sure this president pays for his crimes. Yeah, well, we've already had Senator Ted Cruz again say, if you are going to move forward with this, you insist on witnesses, we're going to look at reciprocity. In other words, if every witness you get to call, we get to call one. Now, how will that play with the Democrats? I've got an expert joining us a little bit later talking about how that will play out. And, of course, they had their last Democrat debate last night in advance of the Iowa caucus. They are so far out of touch with the American public. I'm going to spare you a lot of details about the debate last night. I'm going to give you a few clips and so forth and add some context for you. But just in listening to them, if you hadn't heard them before, you would think these folks don't really understand this country. They don't understand what Americans want. They want to tell us what we want, but they don't understand what we want, and they're not really asking, and they're not trying to deliver what we want. And by the way, there's a new Project Veritas report out that if Bernie Sanders is denied the nomination at the Democrat convention being held in Milwaukee, if he does not get nominated, Milwaukee will burn. Police will be attacked. The city will be under siege because those who want Bernie Sanders to win will go absolutely bonkers. Now, does that tell you? Does that tell you how cohesive this party is and how docile and willing to be the leaders? Bernie Sanders and his socialist group, mark that communism, will be taken to the streets, according to that report. We'll look at it a little closer. And you remember James Carville, Bill Clinton campaign chief. James Carville, always like colorful guy out of New Orleans. I mean, he's the one who made a remark about when some of the women were coming up trying to testify against Bill Clinton at that time. He said, well, you never know. You drag a $5 bill through a trailer park, what you going to get? That's James Carville. Well, he's back in an interview, and he was talking about that Trump must be removed to save the country. In fact, he says Trump is the greatest threat since communism. Well, I don't know. James Carville could be drinking a lot of hurricanes to come up with that view. I don't know. If you haven't had a hurricane, it kind of sneaks up on you. You said they're all fine, enjoying a little drink. All of a sudden, boom, boy, am I smashed. We'll get into that interview with James Carville a little bit later. And then I know you remember the movie, Snakes on a Plane. That was just a movie. But there's a real story about a guy on inside his carry-on luggage had 200 poisonous scorpions on a plane. You feel a little itch somewhere right now? Oh, by the way, Iran announcing arrest regarding those missiles striking the plane. Now they're convinced two missiles were actually fired to bring down that plane, leaving their airport. Two missiles. So it wasn't just one mistake, thinking that might be a fighter jet from the U.S. coming in. We need to hit it now. But apparently there's also a second mistake. And Iran is announcing it's made arrest. Whoa, wait a minute. They're not saying they arrested those who pushed the button. They say they arrested the guy that got video of the plane being shot down. What did he have to do with it other than documenting it? And actually, as it turns out, they apparently did not arrest the right guy. But that tells you everything. Iran is willing to go after the guy that shot the video, not the guys that brought the plane down. This is today's world. And this is the kind of stuff President Trump has to deal with when it comes to Iran. All right, let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air for the next 2 hours. Let your enemies know. I want them to join in. As always, lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, here's your red meat. Last night they had a debate. Whoopee-whoopee-whoopee-doo. The last Democrat debate before the Iowa caucus next month. Now, the debate stage is a lot smaller now. Remember when they used to have it over two nights? It's a lot smaller. It's all white. And some of the long-term runners are still in. And they got joined last night by Tom Steyer, businessman. He finally qualified to be on the debate stage. I won't embarrass you by asking, did you spend all night watching that debate and making notes about it? Because I didn't either. What I do is look for synopsis and pull pieces together later. I'm not going to spend my time watching something that's foolish. Because what they're doing is just doing the same old story. You know the refrain, same verse, second verse, all over again. Now, one thing that came up last night, let me break down some of the different points raised by the candidates. One of them from former Vice President Biden. Biden has, he thinks, a support that no other Democrat can touch Joe Biden.
Look, I've been the object of his affection now more than anybody else in this state. I've taken all the hits he can deliver, and I'm getting better in the polls, my going up. And by the way, I have overwhelming support from the African-American community, overwhelming, more than everybody else in this operation.
That's Joe Biden speaking last night. Now, he does have the single most important asset of any of those on stage last night. Deep, consistent support from black voters. That's the constituency that will decide the South Carolina primary. And, of course, it would affect a lot of superdelegates come Super Tuesday. No one challenged him last night on that point. directly. Now, the two leading black candidates, California Senator Kamala Harris and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, which at that time could have challenged him for black votes, they're out of the race already. They're done. They've gone away. You got Pete Buttigieg asked about his struggle to win over black voters, and he said, the black voters that know me best are supporting me, pointing to backers in South Bend, as if South Bend can swing the presidential election. And he went on to say that, of course, there is a much longer way to go in my community and around the country on issues of race, but I'm going to be a president whose personal commitment is to continue doing this work. And he said, the biggest mistake we can make is take black votes for granted. I never will. But you know what? The Democrats have, and they continue to. They think they can count on the black votes to turn out just because they always have. Buttigieg, even in one closing argument, said, if you're a voter of color feeling taken for granted by politics as usual, join me. Well, that's very similar to what President Trump had said when he was campaigning and telling black voters, what do you got to lose? You've been under the Democrat thumb all these years. What have they done for you? They've got you in their Democrat ghetto plantations, not helping you out. They come around, pick you up once in a while, run you to the polls, and then take you back, drop you off in the same conditions you were in previously. And there's an Emerson poll, which we quoted the other day for you, showing 34.5% of black registered voters support President Trump. 34.5%. A Rasmussen poll had showed the similar approval with the president and blacks at 34%. Now, most polls still put the president's approval when it comes to actual black voters at about 10%. He got 8% in 2016, but 10%, well, it could be a change. You got several key swing states on how the black voter support will work for Trump, as it did in 2016. When he asked the black voters what he had to lose, and they decided, you know what, we don't have anything to lose. And if they look at where they are now with the economy, black unemployment, the lowest in history, I think they've made the right decision. Now, again, back to the debate from last night. Pete Buttigieg, he had some remarks directly aimed as to why he should be selected over anyone else on the stage when it comes to dealing with Donald Trump.
If he keeps trying to use religion, if a guy like Donald Trump keeps trying to use religion to somehow recruit Christianity into the GOP, I will be standing there not afraid to talk about a different way to answer the call of faith and insist that God does not belong to a political party.
I don't know that Trump has ever said that. Have you heard him ever say that? I've never heard him say Trump belongs to the Republican Party. I don't believe God belongs to a particular party, one way or the other. You could also ask sometimes, does God even care about politics? I think what he cares about is, can we be a better person than what we are? And depending upon your religion, be it Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, can you be better than what you are? But again, Buttigieg thought that would be a nice thing to throw in the face of the audience last night, pointing out that I will never claim to be the Savior, and Donald Trump, in trying to claim that God loves Republicans, is wrong. Well, he's never said that. But don't let the facts interfere with a good narrative because Pete was on a roll and he wanted to get that statement out. Now, as I mentioned earlier, one of those on the stage last night, fresh on the stage, had not been there before, Tom Steyer. Steyer has been campaigning to the side for a long time, putting up a lot of ads just saying, get rid of Donald Trump, get rid of Donald Trump, sign me to get rid of Donald Trump, impeach him, so forth and so on. Well, last night he actually had enough support to meet the criteria set by the Democrat National Committee to appear on stage.
I started a business by myself in one room. I didn't inherit a penny from my parents. I spent 30 years building that business into a multi-billion dollar international business. Then I walked away from it and took the giving pledge and started organizing coalitions of ordinary Americans to take on unchecked corporate power. But whoever is going to beat Mr. Trump is going to have to beat him on the economy. And I have the experience and the expertise to show that he's a fake there and a fraud.
Well, now, how would you classify Trump as a fake and a fraud when, again, our economy is doing better and better and better? Unemployment at the lowest rate in history. Black unemployment, as I mentioned earlier, at the lowest rate. Everything is clicking. Are there some areas we'd like to improve? Sure. But that's a constant changing scenario. But Tom Steyer, using his time last night to point that I know how to make the economy go better. And you know what? He might do that better than any of those others up there, because for the most part, they don't really want capitalism. For the most part, those on the stage last night, at least a couple of them, and you know who they are. We're coming to them in a moment. They're not that concerned about capitalism. They're concerned about taking whatever you have and spreading it around everyone else. So, Senator Klobuchar last night from Minnesota. One of the things that had come up at one point, that there was a report that Senator Sanders at one point had told Senator Warren during a private dinner in 2018 that a woman couldn't win. Now, neither backed down from their approach on that last night. Sanders said, I never said that. Warren said, yeah, I did, but that's not the point I'm concerned about. And to that extent, also, Senator Klobuchar did agree with Senator Warren that we don't need to have a man win the election. A woman can win the presidency. And Klobuchar wanted to point out as to that she has a better understanding of middle America than anyone else on that stage.
I am going to be able to stand across from him on that debate stage and say to my friends in Iowa, the Midwest is not flyover country for me. I live here. I'm going to be able to look at him and say, you've treated these workers and farmers like poker chips. For me, these are my friends and these are my neighbors.
That's a very powerful statement. I don't know that the Republicans have ever looked at Iowa, Missouri, Kansas as flyover states. It's been the Democrat Party that has taken that approach. En route from New York City to Los Angeles, we fly over all of those hither lands down there. And from Detroit to Miami, we fly over all those hither lands down there, too. It's not the Republican Party that's ever said that. It's the Democrats. Senator Elizabeth Warren last night, she tried to make it clear that there is one chance to beat Donald Trump.
We have a chance to unite. Unite as Democrats, but also with independents and Republicans who are sick of living in a country that's working great for the politicians that are taking the money. It's working great for the lobbyists. It's working great for the corporate executives. It's just not working for everyone else. I'm building the grassroots movement, leading the fight. We're going to make this America work for everyone else. That is how we're going to beat Donald Trump.
Right. Sounding just like the teacher, that's how we're going to do it. And by uniting, that means unite behind me, obviously. And then we have the words from Senator Sanders. And he, if you thought Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar was saying, I don't look at all this as flyover country. These are my neighbors, my friends. I know where they stand and what they want and what's best for them. Senator Sanders apparently has no idea. I mean, he really believes still to this day that there's only one thing you want to see happen in this country.
Health care is a human right. We're going to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. We're going to make public colleges and universities tuition free. We're going to have a Green New Deal and create up to $20 million saving the planet for our children and our grandchildren. We are going to take on the greed and corruption of the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance company. That is what democratic socialism is about, and that will win this election.
And there he nailed it, democratic socialism. There is no democracy in socialism. The whole idea of democracy is that you can make your own decisions, and it inherently supports and endorses and activates capitalism. Socialism is not anywhere near that. Those are two terms that should never be put together, but Senator Sanders has no problem. Democratic socialism, because he doesn't want to lose the Democrats that are not sure which way to go, and he wants to appeal to that socialist class. Those who want to take what you have and disperse it. And I mentioned to you before, when you get a lot of young people and they don't really understand socialism, they seem to think they're all about it, they're all for it. But if you simply say, all right, first thing we're going to do in socialism is we're taking away your cell phone because you don't need a cell phone all the time and other people will. Well, I don't think so. That ends socialism for them, believe me. That would put a stop to it. And there's also a report out, a threat that if Sanders does not win the Democrat nomination, the whole city, Milwaukee, will be set on fire. Riots. I'll have more on that in the second hour. But again, when it came to debate issues last night, they didn't really touch on a lot of issues. And there was one issue in particular that got ignored. Immigration. Immigration. In the second hour, we'll explain why they just wanted to look the other way. Now, with this impeachment process going forward, I want to bring to the forefront a story that I've had for a long time concerning ethics violations against Maxine Waters. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Very superstitious.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
California Democrat Congresswoman Maxine Waters is one of the most vocal calling out for President Trump to be impeached, to get rid of him, to impeach him for all of his violations. And, of course, when it came down to the actual charges, they fall short of anything on the Constitution recognizing high crimes and misdemeanors, obstruction of Congress, abuse of power. Well, let's talk about abuse of power regarding Maxine Waters. She was charged in 2008 with three counts of violating House rules and the Federal Ethics Code in connection with her effort to arrange a meeting between Treasury officials and representatives from One United Bank. This is an old story, but I just want to point out to you what's been done in the time since then. See, what had happened at the request of the bank, and her husband does have a sizable share of stock, One United Bank was wanting Waters to set up a meeting to get $50 million in bailout funds to recover from the Great Recession. The bank ended up getting $12 million. And it is true that if they had not gotten it, then stocks her husband owned would be worthless. The stock representing up to 15% of the couple's net worth had fallen to $175,000, and the ethics committee found if One United failed, Maxine Waters' husband's investment would have been worthless. They already had a heavily mortgaged home, net worth negative $14,000, comparing assets to liabilities. Maxine Waters insisted, "I did nothing wrong. I simply arranged for a meeting, and the bank needed help. And it just happened to be that my husband was on the board, and it happened to be that we saved ourselves." What does it have on bearing today? And let me stress to you that when all of that came out in 2008, then the panel recommending in 2010 charges against Waters, and her chief of staff was also charged. The ethics charges against Waters were dropped in 2012. Just dropped them. And yet here's Maxine Waters insisting that this president is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors and violations and so forth. She can say what she wants. And the story can be reinterpreted and has been and put up sometimes as if it's just breaking news. It's not. So I want you to know the fact. It happened back in 2008, then through the 2010, the Ethics Committee making its ruling, but all charges dropped in 2012. And her chief of staff was charged, but just got a letter of reproval for not stopping Waters from doing it. And Waters, of course, being a vocal critic of Trump, continuing to say that I'm going to take him out and call in the most dishonorable, despicable human being to ever serve in the office of the presidency. So said Maxine Waters. Well, now we know the rest of the story, don't we? More on the impeachment process and where we're going as it moves into the Senate. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Happy girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Before this hour's out, we'll tell you about the arrest of famous or infamous attorney Michael Avenatti, of course, who represents Stormy Daniels, and you and your family being wrecked by the flu. We'll tell you why. That's before the hour's out. Joining us now, one of my favorite guests when it comes to pronouncing the name anyway, from the Heritage Foundation, Giancarlo Canaparo. Gina, Carlo, glad to have you on board again.
Great. Thank you for having me.
I hope I pronounced it correctly. Please forgive me if I didn't.
No problem.
Was I close?
Close. I pronounced it Giancarlo.
Giancarlo. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I'll make sure I do it right from now on. So I want to talk to you about where we're going with this impeachment thing. Today, House Nancy Pelosi leader delivered the names of her seven House managers, are called basically managers in place of prosecutors. Do they really need seven of them? I think she did it simply to show her geographic and diverse cultural divide represented in the party.
You're probably right about that. There probably isn't a need for that many, especially given how little evidence was presented during the House hearings. Remember, these Senate impeachment proceedings work. They're not meant, and they have not historically been, a new round of investigations. Investigations are done in the House. The evidence is gathered in the House, and then that evidence is presented to the Senate. But if you think back to the House hearings we just had, and when you compare it to what was done during the last presidential impeachment for Clinton, the evidence is just much sparser. And so to think that, you know, you need seven people to present that case, probably unnecessary.
Well, let me go through. There's several points here. One, every one of them is going to want their shining light. Believe me, they're going to want to be on camera as long as they can. But and Chuck Schumer has been saying we want to present additional new evidence, and there was a dump of supposed evidence the other day. Why was this not all brought on the House, as you said, instead of trying to reintroduce new information at this stage?
Right. That is the million-dollar question. And I think the answer is that Democrats are not serious about this impeachment. This is not a true fact-finding investigation. This is an effort to smear the president before 2020. It is, I guess you'd almost call it a continuation of the primal scream against President Trump that we've been seeing for the past 3 years. But ultimately, it boils down to this is not a serious impeachment. It never has been a serious impeachment. It's never been a serious effort to uncover facts, to put together a record. It is partisanship at its rawest, and unfortunately, using constitutional mechanisms to engage in partisan wrangling. It's not what the Constitution anticipated. In fact, the framers went out of their way to try to avoid this sort of partisan impeachment, because ultimately what this boils down to is an impeachment is a repudiation of an election. It is an attempt by one branch to tell the American people that their choice of representative in another branch is not acceptable.
Well, now, may I interrupt there? That is true in this case, but an impeachment on prior cases was not to repudiate the election or overturn it or keep the next guy from being elected. It was dealing with true high crimes and misdemeanors. But in this case,
correct,
I think it's exactly what you said.
Correct. And what's really telling in this case is the first article of impeachment against Trump tries to impeach him not for what he did, but for what he intended to do. The first article of impeachment reads that he intended to solicit Russian interference in our election. Well, what you saw during the House impeachment investigations, no evidence whatsoever of intent, none whatsoever. And I think Democrats know that they've set themselves up to have a bad case. And so what you see them doing instead is throwing up smoke and mirrors, anything to detract from making this a true trial in accordance with historical precedent, and everything to make this theatrics, political theatrics.
You're listening to John Carlo Canaparo with the Heritage Foundation, an expert in legal studies and this impeachment process. Senator Ted Cruz has raised the issue that if the Democrats want to call witnesses, we want witness reciprocity. In other words, for every witness you call, we will call one.
You know, if that's the political strategy, if that in their political judgment is what's best for them, you know, I'm no political strategist, but what I can tell you is that in the past, in the Clinton impeachment, for instance, no witnesses were called in the Senate. It's incumbent on the House to do their due diligence and investigations. And there were a lot of witnesses that the House could have called that they didn't. There were a lot of witnesses that were that they could have called. They wanted to call. The White House said no, and Democrats dropped it. What they could have done, and if they were serious, should have done, is taken these issues to court, fought about the scope of executive privilege, but the Democrats didn't do that. Instead, they rushed through this proceeding, and they didn't do a fulsome investigation. They didn't resolve challenges of executive privilege. They rushed through one of the fastest, in fact, the fastest presidential impeachment in history.
Well, to that extent, again, why do you need seven, quote, prosecutors? Who are they going to be asking questions of? They're just be reiterating what the House has already presented?
Right. That's exactly right.
Really? All they're going to do is restate what we already know and get their shining spotlight. That's about it?
Yep. If the Senate picks the same procedures that we used under the Clinton impeachment proceeding, and that's what the Senate has indicated it's going to do, then that is what will happen. They will make their argument based on the evidence presented in the House. The senators will hear it. And there you go.
And again, if Republicans decide to go to call witnesses, in addition, if the Democrats are going to do it, Hunter Biden's going to be top of the list. Now, a lot of the senators have talked about maybe dismissing it, but others say no. In fact, Missouri Senator Roy Blunt said, our members generally are not interested in the motion to dismiss. They think both sides need to be heard.
That's probably the right way to do this. But ultimately, the Constitution gives to the Senate the sole power of impeachment. It can do whatever it wants. So if the Senate decides to vote to dismiss, that decision is perfectly legitimate, as is hearing it out. But if Republicans think that the evidence is as sparse and as non-determinative as many of them have said, it might be in their best interest to have a trial and say, look, this is what you had to prove. You didn't prove it. We don't have to bother dismissing. You had the burden of proof in this case, and you didn't meet it.
One other thing, any questions that are asked by the senators, I guess, would be asked if there are no witnesses to the, quote, prosecutors from the House, and they have to submit written questions to the Supreme Court Justice Roberts overseeing this as a judge. Is that correct?
Correct. But let me push back a little bit to say that Roberts is overseeing it as a judge. It's more because, again, this the Senate has the sole power of impeachment.
Parliamentarian, maybe. Yeah.
Right. The Senate itself acts both as jury and judge.
Right.
Really, the only reason that Chief Justice Roberts is there is because the founding fathers thought it would be unseemly to have the vice president, who is the head of the Senate, president
right.
of the Senate, serve as the judge in an impeachment trial that might make him president.
Yeah. And in fact, Roberts cannot make the decision yes or no on the impeachment.
Right. Roberts really is he might as well, if we follow Justice Rehnquist's example in the Clinton trial, he might as well be a potted plant. He is there really just to read basically what the senators submit, the questions they submit, read the rulings. Remember, again, the Senate is the judge, and so procedures and things are done by majority votes.
What a joke. What a carnival we're going to see. But one thing I want to ask you in the last 40 seconds or so, looking at a piece you've written previously about this, and you said that Pelosi is holding the impeachment for ransom, keeping the country in impeachment limbo.
Right, she was. But we've seen she's now caved. There was no leverage that she had in holding the articles of impeachment back. The Constitution, I've said this a dozen times, I'll say it again, the Constitution gives the sole power of impeachment to the Senate. She has no ability to affect what the Senate does, how they choose to do it. And the only thing that happened from holding back the articles of impeachment is that she undermined her own argument that we had to rush through this.
Yeah,
and we've seen that she's caved, and it is, and she got nothing for it.
And the other part of this is, for the most part, it's going to be anticlimactic. I mean, it's like I discussed with the audience yesterday, an old Perry Mason movie. You know how it's going to go before you even turn it on. Perry Mason's going to win, and in this case, we know how it's going to go. There's not going to be an impeachment out of the Senate for Trump.
Right. We've known how this was going to go since 2016. The Democrats started calling for Trump's impeachment 4 months after he was elected. We knew it was going to come. We knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. I mean, this is a story that wrote itself years ago.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I appreciate your time as always. Giancarlo Canaparo with the Heritage Foundation. We'd like to
Thank
have you
for
back.
Having me.
We'll have you back again, sir. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You bet. By the way, when I was talking previously about Maxine Waters and those ethics violations charges against her, I want to point something out. Again, those charges had been dismissed, but Waters and her husband own property in Los Angeles, Palm Springs, Kern County, and Washington, D.C. Go to Congress, make a lot of money. Huh. That's what it suggests. Now, the story about Michael Avenatti. Famed attorney, famed speaker on CNN and N, even to the extent he thought he would run for the White House. Oh, what a difference a few days and weeks and months. Please stand by.
To me, I'm worth it. Baby, I'm worth it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I cannot imagine anything more depressing and shocking and just out of the blue. You're an attorney, a very well-known attorney. You're facing a case, and you're in court trial in state court in Los Angeles. And they got the State Bar of California initiating proceedings against him, so he's trying to defend that. And they have a break, and when they do, IRS agents come through the door, put him in cuffs, and take him out. Allegations in the disciplinary hearing that attorney Michael Avenatti scammed a client out of $840,000. But then federal agents from the IRS come in and arrest him and put him in an elevator and walk him out handcuffed. He was later is quoted as saying there have been a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and frankly, I've attempted not to get too high, and sometimes I've failed, but I've attempted not to get too high, and right now I'm trying not to get too low. And during part of the interview, this is back in April, he had tears forming at the corners of his eyes. He began thinking about what he had and what he has to lose. He said, it's about the journey, and regardless of what happens, I've had an enormous life. I've had a lot of opportunities. A lot of people could only dream. I've done a lot of things over my 48 years a lot of people would never have the opportunity to do. That is correct. And the man sounds humble, does he not? And I'm not going to, you know, we could sit here and poke fun at him all the time. Michael Avenatti, famed attorney, rushing forward the Stormy Daniels allegations against Donald Trump. And then she's suing Stormy Daniels, now suing Avenatti, and he's suing her. See where that client relationship went. And then these other charges against Avenatti. And if you recall, Avenatti at one time was even saying, I'm the one guy that can beat Donald Trump. In other words, put me in, coach. I can run for the Democrat nomination. I will win, and I will beat Donald Trump. And you could not turn on. There was a period of time that you could not turn on CNN and NNN without seeing Michael Avenatti. And if he wasn't there in person, they were using quotes from him or had him on the phone. He was constantly there, constantly. Ever since his fall from grace, he's just become persona non grata for CNN and NNN. They don't really want to talk about him, don't discuss him, don't replay clips of him. They just kind of look away. They don't want to get near him as if the guy has the flu. Oh, speaking of the flu, maybe you got the flu or members of your family. I've heard from some relatives that everybody in the family's coming down with it. I'm keeping my distance from them, just as CNN is from keeping distance from Avenatti. By the way, there's more bad news about the flu that's going around. We're told now that main strain of flu that's circulating does really match what's in this year's flu shot. This is a particularly severe season this time around. It started early. They don't know if it's peaked yet, but they also are noting the main strain of flu virus was not matching up with the vaccine everyone was supposed to get. Many folks did not get it anyway. In fact, some believe if I get it, I'm more likely to get the flu. I did not get one. I'm not advising you to do so or not. That's going to be your decision. But you do have to be careful. I mean, when you get something of this nature, and particularly for the very young and the elderly, yeah, I can look in the mirror. I know what you're saying. But the bottom line is, you do have to be careful. It can rapidly move into something more severe, into bronchitis, pneumonia, whatever. So if you have it at all, you do need to take care of yourself. And if this vaccine isn't doing the job, we're just waiting to see how bad this is going to get this time around. If you or your family are battling it, I feel sorry for you. I do take note, and this is a sobering thought, the CDC reporting so far this season, 32 children have died from the flu. 32. That's the highest number of pediatric flu deaths reported at this point in the flu season since the CDC started tracking child flu deaths more than 15 years ago. So it's not anything to be casual about. Of course, you as a parent want to do the best for your children, and you need to be talking to your physician or pediatrician
and making your decision. I think for most of us, we've just been, I know I'm on a third round of meds, just trying to keep my voice going. I have a hard time doing it. All right, coming up in the next hour, I want to go back into some parts of the debate from last night because there's some things, and one subject in particular, that got absolutely ignored. The members on the stage didn't bring it up, and not even the questioners. Why? And then we've got a threat coming forward that if Milwaukee, the host city for the Democrat nomination, that if Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination, that city will burn. And James Carville, once advisor, strategist for President Bill Clinton, he is saying that Donald Trump is a worse thing for this nation since communism. Are you kidding? And then also the story of scorpions on the plane. Oh, we got a lot coming up for you. And I got some some quotes I want to read from Larry Connors USA Facebook. You can text in your remarks right now. Those will be coming up in the next hour. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Put your text in and we'll read them next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.